You're listening to Never Off Duty. I'm Judson Sapp. I don't say that ever. So if you're wondering who else is talking, that's me. Today, we have the deputy, Andrew Ford. I don't know what we need Sheriff Cook here to really put the emphasis on it.
The deputy. DPIO.
And we are also joined by Deputy Robert Russell, who is the coordinator. Yes, got it. I gave him a promotion off air. The coordinator of Clay Pal. And can you tell us what PAL is and what it stands for, what you do, and we'll take it from there.
Sure. The Clay Pal is the Police Athletic League of Clay County. It is, you know, overseen by the Sheriff's Office, but it's also overseen by dozens of volunteers. You know, and that's basically my position, is as the coordinator to, you know, oversee all of those programs that we do offer. Which, you know, include baseball, you know, football and cheerleading. And I oversee, you know, the maintenance, you know, at our facility. You know, we have our own, you know, baseball field and football fields, located in Orange Park, which is 450 Parkwood Drive. And that's where our home fields are, that I oversee as well.
That's great. Now I'm going to try to set the stage for the listener to understand. Sure. And correct me if I'm wrong. So yes. It seems to me the premise is get the kids early, get them involved in activities that promote leadership and responsibility, and gets them also involved in the community. It lets them see that their law enforcement agency is a friend, not an enemy. And as they grow up, the vast majority probably continue to feel that way. So it's really pre-crime prevention, although I'm not saying any of the people that attend there would be prone to crime. I don't want to say that, yeah. But it's just the more people in your community that sees law enforcement as an ally, the better society will be. And is there more to the philosophy there that I'm missing, or?
No, you pretty much hit it. You know, that's correct. We try to get to the kids, you know, at a younger age, you know, and create a positive role model for the kids and a safe atmosphere, you know, for them to play, you know what I mean? And keep it that way, you know, so they can see, you know, law enforcement as a role model, you know, and, you know, coaches and parents and volunteers, you know, that they can rely on and come to, you know, if they need to, not only, you know, in their sports life, but in their personal life, which happens a lot too. You know what I mean? We try to reach out to those families, you know, as well, to keep those kids active, you know, because they may not have any other, you know, things to do in their lives. So we try to, you know, get to them as early as we can, keep them, you know, at our park, you know, as a positive role model for them to, you know, see us as, you know, good people.
Right. I mean, it makes sense. And to those of you who are more, I know, our fiscal hawks, let us say, that are listening, just remember, a dollar spent early saves you a ton of dollars later down the road. It's much more expensive to have to do an elaborate police sting, prosecute them, send them into jail, and go to trial. The expenses on the end, it's a sound investment. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's always been a sound investment. In law enforcement, and then just having the PAL, you know, we talk about that in community engagement. So, you know, for that, you know, that's that extension of the PAL, is to build those relationships with those kids and their families, you know, and then it also gives kids something to do after school over the weekend, something to take pride in and be work as a team. Because I think sometimes we start to see some, you know, as you get older, folks not wanting to operate in a team format, you know, but we all have to rely on each other. Not saying you can't go off and do individual things, but you need people along the way. So it helps build those relationships.
And it gives buy-in to your community. That's something we talk about on other levels. Like when your community does a fall event, It makes people feel like they're part of the community. That makes them want to, like, they remember it with fond memories, and they want to give back in whatever way, whether it's just be a good citizen or clean up the trash, whatever it is. It's just community building, and we live in a community, whether you like it or not. So
that's right. That's right. Absolutely. We're all in the community together. Yeah,
which is what we try to do. You know what I mean? To keep those families together, keep the kids, you know, together and active. You know what I mean? For, you know, them to have, you know, something to do.
So how did you get into this?
It's just always something I've been interested in. You know, I grew up, you know, as a sports, you know, fanatic, you know, playing sports my whole life. And then when I got here to the sheriff's office, you know, I started to volunteer as a, you know, a baseball coach. And I just got active, you know, into the, you know, the programs that way. And I just, you know, wanted to one day, you know, oversee, you know, and be the coordinator. And then when I had the opportunity, you know, to, you know, put in for it, I did. And, you know, obviously, you know, I got the position and I've, you know, enjoyed it, you know, ever since.
Yeah. And you, I see you all the time at events, and
yes, sir.
I wish people understood how, I don't know how, well, I'll let you thinking about this question, how many events per year there are, because it seems like there's a lot. And there is a lot of preparation for each of those events.
Absolutely.
For people that just show up, it seems pretty easy. It is not. Even things you've done forever, like the golf tournament.
Correct.
I mean, I don't know how long y'all been doing it, but it seems like it's been going on for a while.
We've done that one this 7 years now.
Okay.
Wow.
But yeah. Even 7 years, there's correct. Still a lot that goes wrong. I remember one year, it was a horrible rainstorm. The whole thing had to get rescheduled.
Yep.
Things like that. So it's the reason you do things like that is to raise money, because much of this is donation based. And
correct. Which we work off a lot of donations. You know, like I said, we try to, you know, we do a golf tournament, you know, every year in March. Like I said, we've done it for 7 years now. You know, we try to, you know, raise money, you know, to reach out to the families, you know, that may or may not be able to fully afford, you know, to play sports, you know what I mean? Or offer right. them at a discounted rate. You know, for the families that, you know, may or may not have the opportunity, you know, to pay, you know, or to, you know, play in the sports. So that's what we use that for a lot. And it's one of our big advocates that we use, you know what I mean, to try to, you know, make ourselves better than others. Not saying, you know, they would or wouldn't, but that's just one of our, you know, things that we take pride in, and focus on is fundraising and, you know, in that aspect.
So you've got, let's see. So I know, here's the three I know of.
Yes, sir.
So I know of the golf tournament.
Yes, sir.
The run, the donut run is y'all's, right?
Yes, sir.
And the skeet shoot.
Yes, sir. We do a clay shoot and then.
Clay shoot. That's the proper term.
We also do a motorcycle ride, which is actually next Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So we do four events, you know, throughout the year. And like you just said, you know, a few minutes ago, they take a lot, you know, to plan and to prepare, you know what I mean? You know, it takes a lot, you know, to get people to show up, like you said, you know, and get people to, donate and, you know, to participate. It takes probably, I would say 3 or 4 months, you know, prior to the event leading up to it to plan it, make sure everybody's there, you know, no matter what it might be.
Yeah, no, there, that's a lot of work. And so long, I actually had a question first sure. about this. So do most agencies have Police Athletic League?
Yes, sir.
Is that just, I mean, do you know the history of it? What, I mean, who, I'm really throwing you under the spot. No, this is a Wikipedia search, guys.
I mean, it's been around for a very long time, you know what I mean? A very long time. Not every agency has, you know, a Police Athletic League, but the majority of them do, you know what I mean? And they have the same, you know, philosophy and goals that we do, you know what I mean? To build the relationship, you know, and the bond between law enforcement, you know, and the community, to build that positive, you know, relationship between us, you know, and the community.
I think it really just depends on the size of an agency and do they have absolutely. The manpower
right.
to have officers, because you always want to make sure you have officers or deputies assigned to those PALs.
Correct.
Because that's the main goal of having them being in there, building those relationships with the kids, while also having the volunteers as well.
Correct. Right. Now, are you still coaching, or are you able to do that with time-wise now?
I do not coach any longer. My son, you know, has aged out of the, you know, right, the baseball right. program. I've thought about getting back into it, you know, but it's a little time consuming.
It is very time consuming.
But I have not. So I've been out of it, you know, for a few years. But sometimes I miss it. And I may get back into it, you know, as far as, you know, the baseball side. Football, I'm not a football coach. I love watching football. I love watching kids, you know, on Saturdays. But I'm not a football coach. You know what I mean?
Is it flag football or is it tackle football?
We do tackle football.
Oh, okay, great.
We used to have flag football that kind of, you know, went, you know, a little bit. It was hard to get kids, you know, and coaches for that. We may or may not look into getting back into it. But as of right now, we do not have flag football. It's all tackle.
So I have a question because I know at one point PAL did have basketball.
Yes, sir.
And so is that something that will ever or could possibly happen again? You know, yes, sir. Maybe starting the basketball back up?
We would love to start our basketball program back up in the summertime. We used to use the schools. And then when COVID came, excuse me.
That's all right. If you're wondering, I was talking about coughing because if you regularly listen to the show, it seems like everybody starts coughing and I'm trying to do the best of muting those mics. So, look, we don't stop. So if you're wondering why I'm telling you this, I'm letting you know why there was a pause there because everybody started laughing.
That's okay. Yes, we would like to get our, you know, basketball program back up, you know, and running in the, you know, in the schools. Like I said, once COVID hit, the schools were a little tougher to, you know, to use as far as the facilities. And like you said, the manpower, you know what I mean? We don't have, you know, the manpower as of right now to do that. You know, we used to have the school resource officers, you know, that were assigned to the police athletic league in the summertime. And that was a huge, you know, asset, for us to allow us to do the summer basketball.
Oh, wow. I didn't think about that, but that makes a lot of sense.
Correct. And, you know, same thing. It was, you know, it gave the kids something in the summertime to do, you know what I mean? When they're not on vacation.
Right.
Cause we would do it during the day, you know, Monday through Thursday, for 6 weeks. And, you know, we would get around somewhere between 75 to 100 kids a day.
Oh, wow.
To show up and, you know, just, you know, play basketball.
Wow.
And, you know, interact with the kids, you know. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, I just, you know, just the other day I seen one of the kids that, you know, came in a volunteer in the concession stand. You know, he remembers him from summer basketball. He's 23, you know, 23 years old now.
Wow.
You know, got his own kids. And
that's
you
great.
Know,
but see, again,
he started in our program at 15.
Yeah.
You know, playing basketball. So it's good to see. Those are the, you know, things that make, I guess, myself feel good when I see those kids and, you know, that become, you know, a good asset in the community. He's not in trouble. He's not, you know, in trouble with the law, I guess.
Right.
You would say. So,
but he's coming back, giving back to where, you know, he got his start or at least was able to come and do some, you know, be a part of something.
Right. Correct. Right. Well, I mean, it's almost an extension of your job, too. It's just, again, it's all this communication with the community to let them know that the good work it's being done. And obviously law enforcement's good work. I mean, look, arresting bad guys is great work.
It's what we do. Yeah, I mean, that's the reality.
It's what we do. Well, you prevent crime.
Yes.
And you go after crime. I mean, that's your job. And it's good to see all aspects being explored on how to do that. So what all sports are currently offered?
Right now we have our baseball program going on, which is in the fall. We normally start practicing about the first week of September. And then we're actually kicking off games, this week and, this Saturday, is our opening day for baseball. It'll run till the middle of November. And then we'll take the holidays off and then we'll kick right back up again in January with signups. Practices will start again for spring baseball, in February. And then we'll start the games in March and they'll go all the way from March, April to the end of May. Right before the kids get out of school. And then like right now we're almost finished with our football and cheerleading season. We have a couple more weeks left of that. And then the cheerleaders will get into their competition season, which will go into probably the first or second week of December. And then they'll, you know, start back up again in, you know, March or April with the registrations. And then the season for football and cheer will, you know, will start again in the summertime.
Oh, wow. And what age can somebody start doing this?
For baseball, we start as early as 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
And go all the way up to 18. And I think actually 19, you know, they just extended it to where somebody 19 can
now,
play baseball.
I've seen the Little League playoffs.
Yes,
not entirely convinced that it doesn't go up to 30.
Well, you know, it might be right. Some tall kids. Some tall kids on those teams.
Yeah, you see a couple of ours, you know what I mean? I say the same thing, you know, some
no,
of
it's
our
amazing.
Kids, You know, some of the, you know, the kids are supposed to be 12 and 13. They're coming, you know, driving up to the park, shaving.
Yeah. Oh, no, like, really? You're right. So things have changed. My son is 8, but everybody, he looks like, I mean, he's just super tall. So everybody's like, you know, they're like, he's 8? What? You know.
Correct. So. We get that all the time, especially, you know, with our baseball and football kids. Some, you know, they always want to, you know.
Check the records. We want to see how old this kid is.
There, there's some overzealous mom in there. Like, check the records. Yeah. That kid should not be on there.
So, but it's fun. You know what I mean? To see the kids, you know, progress throughout the years. You know, for football, you know, we start as early as 5.
Oh, wow.
You know, they go, you know, they can go up to age 14. We tend to lose the older kids when they get to about 13 or 14 because they're playing mostly junior high ball or school ball, you know, or school ball. But we still, you know, funnel them into the school programs.
Well, you, I mean,
get them ready.
In this day and age, if you want to play sports, you better start young. I'm sorry to say that.
I agree.
Because if you, I mean, there's that old adage that you can practice your way of self competency and even to a certain level of professionalism. Now, some people just have a talent, but they also practice. So that's the thing people don't realize, that practice. My children go to Clay County Soccer Club, and one of the coach theories, I think it's like, he's got this theory of like 10,000 touches.
Oh, wow.
That you should be touching that ball 10,000 times or something. If he listens to this, he's probably like, no, it was not that much, whatever. But the point is that it doesn't matter. What matters is when you're touching the ball, you're getting an experience, and you have to keep doing it. It's
I think so, because I'm fascinated. Even though you know so much about the PAL, but the police athletic lead, you know, I guess here, you know, encompasses so much more. What other programs are actually inside the PAL that you also have, whether you oversee or someone else oversees?
That's all the programs that we have for here. You know, I mean, just based on our manpower, you know, and the facilities that we have.
But if you are a wealthy donor and would like to contribute, they could expand more.
That's right.
If you're sitting here going, you know, we really need a lacrosse team.
Correct.
Then I'm sure that there could be a sponsorship for free. Absolutely.
We'll always accept donations.
Yes.
Yeah. Correct.
And again, remember, it is donation. I mean, there's donations play a tremendous important part of this. So,
And I think so. The relationship, when we talk about, you know, some of the events that you guys have.
Yes, sir.
And I know sometimes you guys have giveaways. Now, do the PAL purchase those items, or how do those items, you know, get in your guys' possession so that you can give them away to create those donations, to bring people in?
Most of them are by donations, like you just said, you know, just like, you know, Mr. Sapp just said. Most of them, you know, that's part of one of my responsibilities, you know, for like either the golf tournament, you know, or the motorcycle rider, the clay shoot, is to go out and get businesses to sponsor us and to donate raffle items, you know, that we are able to, you know, raffle off, you know, at each event. Sometimes, you know, we end up having to buy some of them, you know, depending on how many items I'm able to get donated or, you know, sponsors we get. But, you know, people, when they come to our events, that's one of the things that we thrive on is the giveaways, you know, because that's what brings people to us. You know what I mean? If they want to come to an event, you know, that's what they like to talk about. Man, you know, when I went to that event, you know, they had all kinds of stuff. You know, I got this, and, you know, people, you know, they want to feel appreciated when they do donate their money to us, you know, and get something. And
I know it's a great certain person who won a Blackstone grill.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, so for those who are out there listening, you can win some great prizes. Correct.
I don't know.
Wait, did you win the grill?
I did not win the grill.
I think I know who did.
I wanted to take the person out who did win the grill.
So I think they live in this community here.
No, a Blackstone grill, I'm not really sure what to take. I have one. I love mine. But those go over, you know, very well.
Didn't Ray win? I think Ray won. So.
I think he did. I didn't want to see him.
Yeah, I'm not going to say his last name. But
I want to see him.
Yep. He does. And, you know, he's used it a couple of times. He's, you know, he sends me pictures every once in a while. And, you know, and Ray, you know, Ray has been one of our biggest supporters, you know, since we started the golf. He's been at every golf tournament we've had. He's been to other events, you know, as well, that we have every year. But he's been, Ray's tremendous supporter for
us. I tried to win that Blackstone too.
I did too.
And then I was like, all right, I'm buying one because I didn't win. I got into it after that. So
yeah, I was upset though. I really wanted the Blackstone.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would have been pretty cool. That would have been cool. It would have saved me not buying it from Ace Hardware.
Well, I already have one. I just wanted another one. I want it, right?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, yeah, no, that's, this is great stuff. so where would you like, if you know, budget wasn't a concern, if everything, you know, y'all could just do whatever you want, where would you like to see it grow to? Because I think there's, I've heard about, I think we talked about on the show, the maybe getting another area or to expand and to different parts of the community, because people have to realize Clay County's huge, people.
Correct.
It is huge.
One of our goals, you know, over the last few years that we've been trying to progress towards, you know, is purchasing maybe another, you know, a small piece of land or something to that effect and putting a multi-purpose building, you know, on there, which would, you know, we would have our own basketball, you know, basketball program there. It would give our cheerleaders somewhere, you know, to practice indoors, you know, because once they start their competition season, they, you know, they've got to be indoors on the mats, which we don't have that, you know, now. So we, you know, right now have a great partnership with Center Point Baptist Church, which has been excellent. You know, they've been great to us in allowing us to use their facility for the cheerleaders to practice. You know, and we could have, you know, expand to have other things there, you know what I mean, in the multi-purpose building, you know, as far as, you know, other sports that we could bring in as well. But obviously that takes, you know, a lot of money.
Right.
Building a building or land, you know, is extremely expensive, which we've been looking into. But that is one of our goals, you know, future goals, you know, is to try to get to that point, you know, through, you know, fundraising or whatever it might be, you know, donations and stuff like that, you know, to get to there.
So, if you're a parent or a kid listening mm-hmm. to this and they want to get their child involved in sports with the PAL program, where do they go?
We have our website, which is, you know, www.claycountypal.com. We have a Facebook page, you know, which is just Police Athletic League of Clay County. Either one of those two, you know, my information's on there. They can reach out to us, but our website is basically our main focus,
okay.
You know, an advertisement, you know, that we use to put everything on there. All of our programs, all of our upcoming events, pictures, you know, and all of our staff, you know, is all on there, and all of our information is on the website.
And so we're listening to this in September right now, September, yes, 2023. If you're listening right, you know, within a week of this going out, I just don't want somebody to be listening like next spring and then get bad information. That's why I'm telling you it's no fall. Problem. So in fall, that when would be what are they signing up for now?
Right now we don't have any signups. We just started our baseball program.
Okay.
So as of right now, we're closed for registrations for baseball because we've already started. But after the holidays, they'll start up again in January for spring baseball.
And when do they sign up for football?
We'll start again in March.
Okay.
So March, April, and May.
And cheerleading would be the same time.
Yes, sir. Same exact time. Because they'll start practice August 1st of next year for the next season.
Oh, wow.
But registrations obviously, you know, happen before that and, you know, getting all their uniforms and equipment.
Summer football camp was the worst. It was so hot. I don't know how people did it. And I, when I did it, it was, you know, you didn't have like a water bottle with you. It was, you got one or two water trips the whole practice. I don't know. Like, what was wrong with us?
Go to the side.
And they've changed all the rules. You know what I mean? There's, you know, especially with football and cheerleading, you know, in the heat, they're constantly taking water breaks.
Right.
You know, they actually put that in the rule book now.
Smart.
Smart.
You know,
they let kids now have water in their classroom. I'm like,
yeah,
man, that would have been nice. Although I liked getting up to leave to go get a drink for the fountain.
Kids still do that.
Now they just say, I got to fill up my water bottle. It's empty, I swear.
My daughter does it all the time. My teacher tells us. You know, the teacher says my daughter does that every single day. You know, but nevertheless. So the PAL, so what else for you guys when the tournaments are coming up or some of these events are coming up, how do people, you know, volunteers, you know, sign up or how do you solicit the volunteers or that when you need help to help, you know, run these things behind the scenes?
Like I said, we, you know, have email, you know what I mean? We email a lot of our parents, Facebook, you know what I mean? Social media, you know, sometimes I ask the sheriff's office to put it out, you know, stuff like that. Social media, basically, I would say is our main, you know, advertisement or focus, you know, focal point to try to get people to volunteer or to get them. Obviously social media has come a long way.
Right.
Over the last, you know, several years. So social media, I would say is, you know, most of our, you know, main focus point to get people, or, you know, we have obviously people's email addresses as well and phone numbers and stuff like that. So that's mostly.
If you're listening, take it upon yourself to get on the mailing list, do something, because a lot of these events are a lot of fun too. I've participated in the golf tournament, and it was the first time I played it. There was one hole, it was a par five, and they had like a cannon. You put your ball in and shot it. I mean, you know, like just crazy stuff that was a lot of fun. And actually, y'all's tournament is one of the ones where I've gotten some of the best like sponsored swag. Like, you know, it's dumb, but like Golf Magazine, like I donated an extra whatever at the hole to, I think it was the one where I shot the cannon. And then I also got Golf Magazine for a year for free. So it was, you know, not some fun stuff that you don't get at all these other tournaments.
But you're a golfer. So, you know, the magazine, you know, gives you the new stuff that's about to pop out.
That's right. I'm generous. That's very generous to call me a golfer.
Yeah. I've seen you out there. You're not bad.
I have my moments, but most of the time I'm bad.
But no, we do take a lot, you know, pride ourselves in our events, you know, that we do, and, you know, make sure that people have a good time when they come out, you know, and that they're, you know, a first class event, you know what I mean? And the stuff that we give them, you know, because then they'll want to come back. You know, if we don't, you know, make it a good event and it's, you know, not something people want a desirable to do, they won't come back. Unfortunately.
Right.
Unfortunately. So, you know, we do try to make it, you know, a good event when we do have people come out.
Now, for the, I'm going to go through each event.
Yes,
so
sir.
For the donut run,
yes,
I actually almost did that. And then I think I was out of town, and then I got out of shape again. So I had actually started. Like
we use an S through your story.
Huh? I thought about it. I knew it was coming up. I had like 3 months, so I was like, I'm going to run. You know, build up my endurance, get back into there. There's plenty of time. And then I actually had something. I couldn't go, and then I quit running. And
it happens.
That was the end of that. But so, do y'all actually? Is there donuts on the run? Is it like, or
yes,
is
sir.
Is it like at mile marks? Where do you get your donut at?
You'll have to come and find out.
great one, Rob.
No, we do have, you know, we have a couple deputies. You know what I mean? Most of the time it's the SWAT guys that come out. We have a fun run after the 5K. But we do have donuts throughout the course at the mile markers, mile marker one and mile marker two. And then at the end, when you finish. And then after that, we have a 1 mile fun run for the kids.
Right.
And we have a couple deputies, you know, that come out and they'll chase the kids during that 1 mile fun run, and, you know, put stickers on them.
Oh, so nice.
If you can outrun the police, you know, which is a great fun, you know what I mean? It's just
that is awesome.
You know, a fun thing for us to do. And if you don't get a sticker on you, then you can get a donut at the end.
Oh, okay. Is it at the same place usually?
We've done it at the, yes, sir, at the mall.
Okay.
In Orange Park. We've done it, you know, shut down, you know, Wells Road for a little bit. And they, you know, run, you know, down Wells Road a little bit and then come back in through the mall. The mall has been a great partnership with us, you know, as well over the, you know, the last 2 years that we've done it there.
Okay. That is great. Now I'll have to bring my kids to that one. They'll love getting chased. That would be,
they really want the donuts though.
They do. Yeah. Oh, no, they do. There's no doubt about that. That's a very good incentive. That's an incentive
for carrot and a stick, right? There's a reward at the end here, right?
But it's we don't mind the extra donuts at the end, do we, Andrew?
No, we don't.
you run the 5K, yes, and then sir. Every calorie you burnt is gone from when you eat that donut.
Okay. Supposedly.
Right? Supposedly. I know. You probably still are in the red there. But
yeah. It's okay.
So for the so that's that, and then now for the clay shoot,
yes,
fancy.
Sir.
Where do you do that at, and how many teams normally participate? Just kind of idea there.
We do that in November. We're at Clay Target Sports in Jacksonville, which is way up off of New Berlin Road.
Mm-hmm.
That's where their facility is and their course. We've been averaging right around 20 to 25 teams each year that we've done it. This would be our fourth year coming up, doing it. And, you know, that's normally on a Thursday. And we get, like I said, 20 to 25 teams to come out and participate. And it's really fun. You know what I mean? I'm not a big shooter with the shotguns, you know, but you'd be a surprise the people that do come out and the shotguns that they do have. You know, I had one guy come out the first year, and he had a fancy gun, and I was just asking him a couple questions, and, you know, told me he had like $12,000 wrapped up in it. And I was like,
wow.
Some people go crazy. Wow. I said, I'm not touching that. I don't want any part of that. I'm not touching it. I'm not dropping it. But they get into it. You know what I mean? Some of the avid, you know, gun collectors out there, you know, like to show off their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And come out and shoot.
Some people are very good at it too.
I saw a video one time, and I don't know if you were there or if you can confirm it, because you know, does the sheriff participate in some of these? I'm sorry, clay shoots.
Yes, sir.
And if so, you know, I heard she's pretty good.
She is.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we got some champions. Got some
competition.
I've never done clay shooting, even though I know how to shoot. I've never done it.
It's fun. I've won a Ducks Unlimited once. In my life. It was in college, and I got roped. My fraternity needed somebody to participate, so I was a pledge, and they made me. And of course, they're like, they didn't know. You know, I'm my neck is red. And could actually shoot, so I went out there, and of course they all they had all done it for years, so they're we're gonna win, and I'm like, but it was much easier because I've been to other clay shoots where there's people, it's like golfing, some people that's what they do for their free time, you know, at a certain age, and they're just really good. I'm okay, but you get me with the right competition, I'm not. I do have that bottom one. I have a blue gun, just that's only for shooting clays. So it's a cop out gun because it's got great recoil. I dislocated my shoulder when I was a kid, so it's still I get pain all the time there. So I have to have like a nice. Easy recoil gun on that shoulder for extended, because people don't realize that. Like when you're shooting clays, you're shooting a lot of ammo. I mean,
correct.
They'll
shoot 100 rounds.
Yeah. Your shoulder starts to feel it if you've got any shoulder pain.
Yeah.
So, it's a reason it's called a sport.
It's a sport. It's a lot. That is a lot.
And each different station that they have there, you know, the targets come from a different angle. So it's fun to watch, you know, watch some of them. You know, I enjoy, you know, when we're out there watching, you know, some of the stations and some of them, you know, some of the guys that are really good at it. And then, you know, some of the other guys, you know, they love coming out. And spending the day out there shooting.
Do y'all do a turkey shoot also? I know some places I didn't.
No,
I know. I'm not
yet. We haven't gotten into that yet.
You can do it with a target, so you don't really shoot the target, but it's a target turkey. But you have to, it's like you have to change out. I don't like it because you have to change out your. I think it's just your choke or something like that. You have to change something in your gun. I hate doing that, but a lot of people love it because it's really hard. I mean, you know,
it's that hard, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not that it's that hard. It's hard to win it. Cause somebody's again, just a crack shot.
You always had that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So yeah. I do have a question. Yes, so sir. When you talk, is the 25 team, cause I was shocked, or at least if I heard you say, you know, the golf tournament is kind of your biggest draw.
Yes, sir.
Which I thought maybe the clay shoot would be kind of for Florida would be your biggest draw. Is that just because it's you're limited to how many people you can have on the team or
a little bit of both. I mean, on our golf tournament, you know, you can only have, you know, two groups on each hole, you know what I mean? So obviously there's only 18 holes on the golf course. So you're limited to right around, you know, between 32 and 36, you know, teams, you know, on the golf course at one time, you know, to manage it through to get through and not, you know, be backed up. Same thing for the clay shoot. I mean, there's only so many stations out there, you know, as far as, you know, how many teams, but the clay shoot, we could probably do 30 to 35, you know, teams as well, to get out there. But yeah, you are correct. There's only so many, you know, participants that can, you know, play, you know, on that particular day.
Right.
You know, in the golf tournament, we put as many out there as we can.
Not only ask, just turn to anybody see if we can get if more people are interested in clay shoot, then you know it's an opportunity for them to get involved. Absolutely. Especially if you love shooting.
Correct. You know. Yeah, ours this year is going to be November 16th, so it's right around the corner.
Yeah, you said there's still spots.
Yes, sir.
Let's see if we'll get this out in time.
Not a problem.
September. Yeah, maybe. You never know. Somebody's gonna be listening to this the day before and be like, oh man,
I missed it.
So then before we go to break, we'll talk about the final win, which is the
motorcycle.
Which
We've done that. This is our ninth year doing this.
Oh wow.
We're doing it actually next Saturday, which is October 7th. And we have a great partnership with Adamec, Harley Davidson on Wells Road here in Orange Park. They've been a huge supporter for us over the years. And we've done a ride there, you know, every year. It's a police escorted ride. We start and end, you know, at Adamec on Wells Road. So this year, you know, our registrations are from 3 to 4:30, and then kickstands will be up at 5. We'll leave, you know, and do, I think it's like a 60 or 70 mile route, and we come back. And then we have dinner, you know, catered by Missions Barbecue.
Oh, nice.
Which Missions Barbecue is also one of our huge, you know, supporters.
And now I want barbecue. Thank you.
Correct.
I'm literally going, right. Yeah. I it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Correct. And I'm like, today. I was hungry.
Yeah, they're one of our big, you know, sponsors as well. And we have, you know, dinner catered, you know, by them after the ride is over. Then, like you said, we have all of our raffle items and donations and giveaways that we do at every event
right.
For the motorcycle ride as well.
I want to ask some more questions about that. I'm fascinated by motorcycle rides, but I'm going to tease it. So we'll go to break and then I'll have some questions asked when we get back. Cause I don't ride, but I know tons of people that do. And I have questions for people.
Yes, sir.
So, all right. You're listening to Never Off Duty. We'll be right back. And we are back to Never Off Duty. All right. All the plugs before we ask the questions. Sheriff@claysheriff.com. Nailed it. Yeah. That's where if you have a podcast-related question or a sheriff-related question or, not a dumb question, please, like, where do I buy milk? Go to Publix or Winn-Dixie or wherever you want. You know, let's keep focused here, people. Don't spam them. But besides that, if you have a law enforcement question, that'd be a starting point to go to, and the website is a great place to go to for information. Safer Watch, download it. If you don't have it, it's yes. great. Apply your filters. That'll make you go less insane as you, it turns out I don't need to hear everything in Clay right. County.
Subscribe to what you want.
Yeah. Subscribe to what you want. To listen to the podcast though, you can do it on all major services, Apple Music, Amazon, Spotify. You can go to the Sheriff's YouTube website. Channel also.
And YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And website.
So there's tons of ways there. You can actually subscribe it and it will come in fresh right as it's loaded to the server. We appreciate it. And you can share it easily that way too. And if you want to share it on your social media, you can tag us and we might like it. So you never know.
And any way we can get people to listen to the podcast. And I don't say that in a way because we have some great followers who are listening.
Right.
Thank you for subscribing.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's awesome to be able to do a long format where people can get to know you better. Correct. And that's, I'm pointing at Deputy Russell as I said that. So you're going to, because again, we talk about this all the time, but a 2-minute press conference is great for information, but man, there's so much more to learn if you're intrigued to learn more. Okay. So I had questions.
Yes, sir.
I'm fascinated by these motorcycle rides. So, what would you recommend experience level to participate in one? Let's start there. Like, so if I go and buy a Harley this morning, would you like show up, man?
Yes.
Really?
You can.
Because you have to have a license, so assuming correct. That I know how to ride.
Rob, before we tell Judson, just go buy a Harley. Yeah. Hey, how about just get on a slingshot, you know, and be a little safer. You know,
right. they I can. I can barely walk. There's no fine. Way I can ride a motorcycle. That's
why not?
I would fall over. I'm telling you, I will be one of those statistics.
Not on a slingshot. Right. The slingshot, you got a better shot, right?
Throughout the years, we have, you know, people with all different experience levels. We have, you know, people that, you know, just bought a bike, you know, for people who have been riding their whole lives. Like I said earlier, you know, it is a police escorted ride. So we shut down, you know, right. all of the intersections. So you don't have to stop. You know what I mean? So
well, that's a win for me.
Correct.
You know, as long as I can keep going, right. I might so be able to stay upright.
You don't have to stay up. Stop at, you know, the red lights or anything like that. And put your feet down and, you know, fall over. Yeah, like I said, we've had, you know, We average, I would say, right around 200, 200 bikes.
Oh, wow.
That's great. With passengers is, probably, just under 250 people. So it's it's a great ride. It's a great time.
Do you ride?
I do not.
Okay.
I did just get my motorcycle license. Don't make fun of me, but I did get a three-wheeler, which is a trike.
I'm not.
I was in the same boat as you. I've always wanted to ride a motorcycle, but just always had the intimidation factor, I guess.
Are you married?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, see, now that's another issue of why I don't ride a... Well, I've got small kids and married, right. So,
Correct. But yeah, I mean, you can come out,
Are trikes allowed for...
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You can even rent one from Adamac once you get your license.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I did. They rent all kinds of bikes, anything from a trike to the two wheelers, all kinds of bikes. And we have people do that as well, that have their license, but they don't have a bike and they'll just, rent one for the day and, go, for the ride with us.
That's pretty cool. All right. So when you're doing a ride like this,
yes,
what should you bring? I mean, experience people, they know what to do.
Correct.
So, but if this is your first one, is there like, hey, I, bring a bottle of water. I mean, I honestly don't know.
Well, we provide water, and actually, Wawa donate sandwiches for us,
oh, wow,
before the ride. You could bring your own, obviously if you're out on the ride, whatever, the temperature wise is going to be, if it's going to be chillier that day, bring a sweatshirt,
sunscreen,
which is why we tried to do it, in October.
Right.
When we first started doing these, we were doing them in August, and it was just too hot.
So do 200 bikes just converge?
Yes, sir.
And
they all start off in the parking lot.
Deputy Ford's face is hilarious. Like the traffic nightmare of 200 bikes converging.
Converge is like an understatement here, right?
And I'm sure. I mean, do y'all have like staggered windows, or is it like, nope, everybody just
they'll all start in the parking lot, obviously at Adamac, and we just let them out. Obviously it's
right
formatted a little, bit.
So 200 come to the parking lot.
Yes, sir.
And then you go, somebody says it's go time.
It's go time.
And whoever's by the entrance goes first. And
yeah, so we line them up. We have our VIPs in the front, and then followed, by the rest of the riders. And they just, come out of the parking lot. It probably takes us 15, 20 minutes to get them all out. They all fall in line and they ride.
And is there somebody competing to be in last place? Like, I want to be last. I don't want to.
Sometimes. Every once in a while, we'll have some people drop back in the ride, or so they'll want to start off, if they're a new rider, they maybe want to be in the back and not be in the middle.
Right.
As far as, that gets nervous, as far as being in a group of 200 other motorcycles at one time.
So you may have just answered my own question I had in my mind, really, because I'm like, well, why do people pay to be VIPs to be up front? But correct. Hey, you're in the front of the pack and not...
All that exhaust going into you.
Correct, that too. We tried to, give them a different experience, as being a VIP, as far as being in the front of the line, a couple other, different gifts that we give just to the VIP, VIP people as well. But yeah, it's quite a scene, as far as, like I said, to get 200 bikes out from the parking lot when we line them all up. Adamac does that for us as well. Like I said, they have a haul group, which is the volunteers, and they all, they get them in line behind the building in the parking lot before the event, and then.
So you go out the parking lot. Which do you go, left or right on Wells Road?
We make a right on Wells Road.
This is for my own amusement. Sorry. Yeah. So you go down to the to 17.
We go out to 17, and we go across 17 onto behind the dog track.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So how long does it take to get 200 people to cross 17 to the dog track? I'm just curious.
About 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Because I've been stuck there. I was trying to see if it was yours. I mean, it wasn't. One recently where it wasn't yours. I think it was with this year, and I was like. I'm like, oh no, I was on the phone with my wife. Like, I think I'm going to be late. Yeah.
And like I said, once obviously they go past the intersection, we open it back up, until they come back, and they come back through the intersection, and then, we'll block that intersection again to let them back through.
It's impressive to watch, though. I was not unamused sitting there for 15 minutes because I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. How many wide do y'all run those?
Two.
Oh, only two wide. Okay.
Only two wide because they take up, we keep them all in the far right lane.
Okay.
Because then, we'll have our motorcycle, our traffic unit, which is a, a huge part of the event. Well, we couldn't do it without, you know, without them. They, you know, they have their motorcycles, you know, and they're scooting up ahead, you know, right, to block each intersection, you know, to make sure it's safe, you know, for the motorcycles to come through. So they need that left lane to, you know, go Mach 60 to get
sweeping
to the next.
And sweeping, you know, again, the intersection for our fiscal hawks, I like to try to explain things to them. I'm being polite with the term here. So remember, this is also good training. It really is. You know, these the maneuvers that they're doing are maneuvers that they need to know how to do and be sharp on. So it's not a waste of. Again, I always worry because there's always that person who's like, oh, I hate spending money on anything. They shouldn't be out there. Well, no, right, they're going to be training anyways.
Correct.
So it's a great use of that. Same thing. I've heard this with rescue events, which, you know, going off topic, but people are like, well, that was a waste of money. I'm like, well, no, they practice anyways.
Right.
So right, it's good practice. It is.
And I think, you know, it's not just our traffic guys. I think it's a collaboration. They call upon a couple of the other agencies. I think JSO has taken part in, oh, in wow, some of these, helping, assisting with, sweeping, the, intersections to make sure no cars are coming through so that, you can have a safe experience on those rides. Right.
Yes, sir. Jacksonville Sheriff's Office has been a huge help for us. And we also get some people from St. John's County as well. You know, their motorcycle unit, will come out and help us as well. And then, you know, we help them
right,
with some of their events as well, because we just can't do it all by ourselves. So,
so 65 miles, right?
That's, yes, sir.
So we're all, so you go around the, where is it all in Clay County? Do you?
Yes, sir. It's all in Clay County. We actually changed the route this year, so this is actually a new route for us this year. Like I said, we'll go over 17 onto Wells Road, and then go out onto River Road. We will come back out on River Road, out back towards 17 by Kingsley. And then they'll head south on 17, go all the way down towards Green Cove. Right before you get to the Winn-Dixie, they'll make a right onto County Road 315. They'll go down 315 down by the Rosemary Hill Dump, out towards 16. And then this year we're going to make a right onto 16 and go by the fairgrounds.
Oh, cool.
Go back through Penny Farms towards Camp Blanding. And then right when we get to State Road 21, which is Blanding, we'll make a right onto Blanding, and we'll, you know, head north through Middleburg until we get up on the 218, and then they'll make a right on 218 back through Shadow Lawn back towards 16, then make a left on 16 and come back the same way we came out.
That's a good route. It's amazing that people don't realize it's not hard to go 65 miles.
Correct.
In Clay County. Right. Yeah.
You know, we used to go down, you know, towards, you know, Palak and then Decoy Road in 209, which you've done that route for, you know, several years. So we decided to change it up this year and do a different route. So that's the route we're going to do this year.
Nice. How long does it take to do that?
It's about an hour and a half.
That's not bad. I mean, you know, given the amount of bikes.
Correct. It's a good, you know what I mean? Like I said, people, you know, motorcycle, they want to ride, you know,
right,
I mean? They want to ride. So yeah, like I said, it's about an hour and a half by the time we get, you know, everybody, you know, out of, like I said, out of the parking lot, you know, give or take, and get them all, you know,
honestly, back in, without many bikes and only two wide, that's a lot moving quickly. It is. That's a good job.
Correct. Like I said, our traffic unit, you know, here does an amazing job, corroborating that and, you know, coordinating all that, you know, and shutting down the intersections and calling it out as we're going by.
Can they register the day of, or do they need to register before?
They can register online now.
And where do they go again? We'll give them
ClayCountyPAL.com.
ClayCountyPAL.
Or they can, you know, they can register that day as well. They can show up for that day as well. So
great,
because a lot of motorcycle people, you know, they want to see the weather, you know what I mean, and I don't blame them, you know what I mean, nobody wants to ride in the rain, you know, or the, you know, the cold, which is why we do it in October before it gets
too cold,
you know, too
for
cold
Florida. I mean, it gets like 68.
I know, that's what that's what I say.
You guys got to thicken up your blood.
I go from wanting to wear shorts to like full parka, right, in a 2-degree swing.
Right. We're just so immune to the heat down here. I know yesterday when it was 71, everyone was,
he was freezing. Huh?
Oh, I was cold yesterday. I know. And I'm not a skinny guy. And I was like, my wife's like, oh, you're wearing long sleeves and a jacket. Right. I had a sports coat on. I was like, it's a little cold out.
Yeah. 71.
It's only 71. Y'all breaking out hoodies and skull caps already. Oh, gosh. You Floridians.
Yep. That's so true. Sad but true. So what does Clay Powell need? What if the listener's like, what do you need? Do they need volunteers? Obviously donations. What's
I would say, yeah. I mean, mostly, you know, like I said, the volunteers and donations are the two biggest things. Obviously, you know, that'll give us, you know, the money or what, you know, the opportunity to, you know, to do what we need to do for the kids, and, you know, keep the facility that we have, you know, looking good, you know, maintaining that facility that we have. So when the kids come, you know, they have a great place to play, and do their sports and volunteer, you know, and enjoy themselves.
Well, great. All right. So we got a few more minutes. I'm going to shift gears, and unless Deputy Ford wants to ask. So I try to get this type of information because listeners want to know. We're trying to get them to learn people on the force here. So how long have you been in law enforcement?
Coming up on 17 years.
17 years. Wow. Good job.
Oh, awesome. Rob. I'm just joking. I don't want nobody to get upset with me.
That's okay.
And a question I ask everybody, what drew you to it?
I've always, you know, I was in the military prior to being in law enforcement, and, you know, I just always wanted, you know, to get into law enforcement, you know, when I was growing up, and, you know, I was in the military. And then when I got down here, you know, I was able to go to the police academy, while I was still in the military, actually. And, you know, I joined our reserve program, you know, here at the sheriff's office, and volunteered with them for 2 years, and then, you know, decided that this is what I want to do.
Oh, wow.
So I got hired full time, and here I am.
Well, thank you for your service, number one.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. What was so you've worked? So obviously, everybody starts on patrol,
correct?
And then where did you or did you stay on patrol and go in straight to PAL?
Give us your history.
Yeah, Rob. That's basically.
Just give us your history, yeah. Rob. What did you do?
Just like everybody else, you know, I started off in patrol. After just over 4 years of being in patrol, I was transferred to the traffic unit as a DUI enforcement officer, where I spent just over 2 years there. Then I went back into patrol for a couple of years, and then I went over to the schools, which was a school resource officer. And then I got, you know, over to PAL from there, and then I've been there, you know, since then. Back in 2018, I went back to the schools. Until they put the school board police officer in here. So then I got, you know, came back to PAL, which I never really left PAL because I was still helping out as well. But, and that's, you know, where I've been since. So
DUI. So Rob, you were a DUI.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So what was that? I got to ask.
That's exciting. That
like? Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun. I wouldn't say fun, but, you know, it was.
It's an important part, though.
Yeah, it's an important part.
Yeah. Drunk drivers cause some horrible problems.
Correct. You know, so yeah, that's, you know, I enjoyed that, for the 2 years that I did it. You know, you always felt like you were making a, you know, an impact, you know, and keeping people safe, you know, off the streets.
I got to say though, so this is now you are the person to ask this. I've never been pulled over. But
we can make that happen.
Well, thank you. No, thank you.
I can help you with that.
That's an untrue statement. I've been pulled over because, you know, I was going too fast on a lane where they changed the speed limit, but I didn't get a ticket. So that's good. Right. But anyways, but I've never pulled over for you know, suspected DUI or correct. Anything like that. And in my mind, though, because I'm one of these type of people that just worries about everything, I'm like, if I've not been drinking and you ask me to do the alphabet backwards, I'm done. I cannot do it. Like, right. I mean, it would take me 3 hours to do it correct. That backwards.
Let alone lift my one leg up and point my toe out. You know, I'm getting older here, right?
So is that a myth or is that a real?
It's a myth.
Okay. I
mean, it's not one of the standardized exercises that Florida recognizes. People do use it. I'm not sure why. You know what I mean? But it is an old myth. You know what I mean? People, you know, I think I might be might be right there with you as far as I don't think I could do it backwards either. But we can try.
Actually, I take that back. I lied. I was pulled over once because in college. Not for drinking and driving, but
misspoke.
No, I misspoke. You misspoke. Thank you. Yeah. I misspoke. But I was, it was a friend's 21st birthday, and I was the designated driver, and they saw us, like a car full of teenage, mm-hmm. I mean, not teenage, you know, college kids pull out of a bar. Mm-hmm. Immediately, they were like, And then they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm driving for his 21st birthday. And they're like, no, no, you're not. And then they got his license. Like, oh yeah, happy birthday, man. Go. And then they're like, yeah, you're fine. Go. So, but that was it. But they were doing, you know, again, they were preventatively, it looked, all the steps looked bad there. Right, like, right. A bunch of rowdy kids got into a car from a bar, and
they kind of cheated a little bit, though, right? And they was right there at the bar.
Yeah, I felt like that. I felt like I should have done something wrong to get pulled over. But they were very polite. So yeah. As soon as they were like, they looked at me, they checked the ID of the kid in the back, and they're like, no, yeah, you're good. Yeah, thank you for driving. Right. So but it was not Clay County. So there you go. Okay.
So I have to ask, because you know, you being a coordinator over the PAL,
yes,
and you said earlier that it's a lot that goes behind. If somebody else wanted to be a part of the PAL, another deputy, you mm-hmm. know, and who says, "Hey, that's something I want to do." What are some of the skills? What are things that they would need to be able to perform a position that you do? In order to take on all the challenges that you have in that position as well?
I guess it takes a lot, as far as, you know, what you need to, you know, do. Anybody could probably, you know what I mean, you know, step up, you know, and volunteer or do, you know, do the things that I do. You know, whether it's, you know, maintaining the fields at the park, cutting the grass, you know, keeping the facility clean, picking up the garbage, the bathrooms, you know, all that, or coaching, you know what I mean, if that's something that they're interested in. And as far, you know, coordinating everything, you know what I mean, being, you know, organized and, you know, having to do schedules and keeping track of registrations and, you know, ordering equipment and, you know, all that type of stuff. So, which is a lot of behind the scenes, like you just said, you know, that people don't, you know, what goes on, you know, as far as all the ordering and the money and the, you know, the keeping track of all that, you know, making sure that all that is squared away and the kids have what they need, you know, as far as, equipment wise or facility wise, and in that aspect.
Okay.
So, but yeah, like I said, we're always looking for, you know, volunteers or, you know, deputies to be involved, to keep it, you know what I mean? It is the Police Athletic League. You mean, at the end of the day, you know what I mean? That's what it is. It's the Police Athletic League. So, we try to get, you know, as many deputies here at the Sheriff's Office involved as far as volunteering, you know, or being a part of the programs, you know, whenever they can.
Are your refs volunteers too?
Unfortunately not, sir. Okay. We wish, you know what I mean? But no, unfortunately that, you know, they do get paid. And that's one of the things, you know, we have to pay for baseball, football, whatever it might be.
Okay.
Now, when we did our basketball program, we were the refs.
We were the refs. That's right.
And that was fun. You know what I mean? Cause you know, some of the kids get serious and I'm like, look, man, I don't know. I'm not a real ref. You know what I mean? Come on, ref, open your eyes. Or, you know, I'm like, look, man, I'm doing the best I can. You know, I'm just here to have a good time.
It is weird, though. I don't know if you've had this problem, but some of the other groups in Clay County, like the parents, they need to chill out with the refs. Like,
some of them take it to heart. Some are a little more passionate than others, I guess you could say. But yeah, I mean, even though the refs, they're volunteering their time. They're getting paid, don't get me wrong, but they're volunteering their time.
Right.
You know what I mean? As far as, you know, to be out there for the kids and, you know, they have to, you know, some of the newer ones, they got to learn, you know, they're learning, you know,
right.
And, you know, the parents have to understand that.
Of course, in your situation, there's usually law enforcement present, so maybe don't go too far.
Sometimes it helps, but some of the parents, they
don't care.
They don't care.
They don't.
You know, their emotions, you know, get the best of them some days, but that's okay. That's what we're there for, to keep them, you know, but yeah, you're right. Some of the parents take it to, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know,
no, I mean?
There's
nothing wrong with
being passionate, you know, or, you know, caring about your kids, you know what I mean? But you know, when it's a 5 and 6 year old football game, it's not the end of the world.
Right. You or they're like, scream, run up the score, right. Beat them down. And right. You're like, come on.
Right.
Things I have actually seen. Well, I'm not
maybe in soccer.
In soccer. It was right, ridiculous. Right. I'm like, it's 6 year olds playing, and there's a parent going, score again, devastate them. Like, you know, like,
they just want their baby to score.
That's okay.
So. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
No, appreciate it.
Do you have any other questions?
No, I just, you know, anybody out there listening, the PAL just does some great things in the community. And so if you have time and you're looking to volunteer, definitely go to the website, check them out.
Yeah.
Become a volunteer.
Volunteer, donate, participate in some of the fundraisers. Go to an event. I mean, there's, yeah. You know, if you want to see what our community is doing, go and watch, even if you don't have a kid there, just cheer
just support,
them on.
Just support. You know, I think that's the key. Cause it is a community effort, you know, to build those relationships. And again, not only with the kids, but their families as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And
I appreciate you allowing me to come out and, you know, talk about it.
Yeah. All right. You are listening to Never Off Duty.